J10, number 5A.
All right, so we see then actively in the world today in these various isms and ologies are these categories and goals that are affirmed and denied in practice onto the metaphysical basis in order to have a healthy whole mentality, which it believes and maintains their psychoneuroimmunology. It helps them control the brain's control of the immune system in order for them to live a healthy whole life. So they say that they set these necessary basic goals for all people. And just for example, they will say at as a point one, I affirm that to increase an overall self-concept, I must say, I like myself unconditionally. I am really happy being the unique and very special person that I am. Then they set the necessary goal of to cease all destructive self-criticism, really something that one does very often. And they say, I never devalue myself through destructive self-criticism, you see. And they work on various techniques on to try to break, always running ourselves down, you see. And that happens also with others running others down. That also works on mentality, too. A person is not only critical of themselves, but they're very highly critical of others. Point three, to have a superior human relationships is a goal. Therefore, step three's affirmation, I have unconditional warm regard for all people at all time. And they practice trying to do that, to be open, to be friendly, to have a warm love and openness to everyone, trying not to be selective and in a hierarchy of relationships, but to bring out a love for everyone. And I think we see this again in the X generation, especially the young generation seems to just naturally come with a feeling of wanting to have a warm regard for everyone. And they're very, very sensitive if they hear any criticism about an underdog or somebody in an underdog situation. They'll go to help the underdog always. It's a very interesting situation. They don't like that. And then four, to live with great enthusiasm. I show that I'm 100% alive by thinking, speaking, and acting with great enthusiasm. Or they set the goal to be truly self-determined and to allow others the same right. I am completely self-determined, and I love others the same privilege. And then they set their spiritual goals and their spiritual affirmations. Oh, they just set all sorts of goals for themselves. They set and then affirm. This is part of the class to learn what kind of goals they can set. Their tangible goals, their study and learning skills, their individual growth goals, their health goals, their loss of specific fear goals, their art skill goals, their music skills, their sports skills, all these things, their goals in every single category of life, their business goals, they have them set them of what it is they want, and then they work up some type of a little affirmation that they do each day. Well, for us, we begin to see it's not high enough. It's more, yes, becomes an auto-suggestion. But at least it's higher, as Dick says, than taking drugs, these drug-alternating drugs that they have out today to, I can't recall some of the names of these drugs, that are to affect the chemical nature of the brain so you think happier thoughts.
Prozac.
That's it. It's one of these chemical alterating drugs that work on the brain, and it's so doctors give it out just like popcorn sometime. I mean, they figure a patient comes depressed and they don't want to work out it on a more metaphysical basis. It's easier to give them Prozac than it is to work this out on even a higher, more metaphysical affirmation and denial. Well, we read in the paper, Prozac helps to a certain extent, but all the side effects of it are tremendous, and over a long period of time can turn into its opposite. And can, instead of the healthy cause, it can cause even it going into very vicious terms. So this at least is higher than popping Prozac every day into one's mouth, so to speak. At least it is a benefit in the right direction, coming along the line of ordinary metaphysics. So with step one then, we wrap it up and show that how can I become one with step one, which is what we ask at this level. And the rule, as Mrs. Eddy shows for step one, is resolving material things into thought. See, that's her step one. Come out of the physical things of a Prozac drug and resolve it into thoughts as the cause of all problems and difficulty. And it can only be handled through culturing a healthy, whole mentality through affirmation and denial. And we know in Christian Science, we came into affirmation and denials at one time in the history of Christian Science. First from a more metaphysical basis, but finally, of course, into a divinely metaphysical basis. Mrs. Eddy evolved. And therefore, on this level, then, it's resolving things into thoughts, and our mentality and thoughts determine our experience. And we start from the fact that no material circumstance has to be changed, but only our material thinking must change. Quite already a big, big, big step for many, many, many to just make that. Then the next step along the way in our ordered steps to oneness with being, if we have the ascending and descending steps shown in a pyramid with a step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then 8 descending from 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The next step then, that the mental can be good and evil, we have brought along with in a bit with the mental, but we will look at it as its own category. And see, therefore, that at this state, then yes, it is such that the mental can be considered either good or evil, and that a good mentality causes a good experience and a bad mentality causes a bad experience. And therefore, in this realm, it's as Shakespeare said, that there is nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. And the criteria for step two, that the mental can be either good and evil, is my mentality. We judge everything from my mentality, my family's tradition and authorities, my speculations, intuition, feelings, and emotions, my prejudice, opinions, and habits, my education, my moral and ethical standards. We judge our mentality according more or less to our family traditions, our religion, and to our education and moral standards, whether something is good and evil. And therefore, the rule here is to watch mentality, hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and become one in this fact. So basically, this is to watch mentality. Let's take a look then at that point where Mrs. Eddy then picks up the subject and shows us from this standpoint. Let's take a look at various points I have out here now from that second step, which is just pretty much what I had just said. At the second step, the mental can be good and evil. What is reality to step two? It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The central question here is how we perceive reality. whether the mental is only good or only evil or both good and evil. Whether we live in a good or bad universe depends not on the existence of an intrinsically good or an intrinsically bad universe per se, but on the quality of our awareness. So we've reduced it down to the universe isn't the problem, but it's our awareness, it's our mentality, our consciousness, the quality of our consciousness. That's step two. If reality is wrongly perceived, here we are, the crisis of perception, the crisis of consciousness, it's different states and stages of consciousness that we're dealing with. Of the first degree through mortal mind, through the personal eye, then it appears as evil. But if reality is correctly perceived from the standpoint of the divine mind, through the impersonal divine eye standpoint, then it appears as good. But we know the second degree of the Hume is fundamentally, everyone is free to entertain either good or evil thoughts, to act accordingly, to experience the appropriate results. You see, the second degree is neutral. It's a transitional stage. Mrs. Eddy doesn't give it a value because it's transitional. So she'll say here that at the human mind standpoint, she shows the first degree is the standpoint of mortal mind, which entertains and sees the universe wrongly through the second record of creation. Or she shows that there is the second degree of the human mind as a transitional stage. Then she shows there's a third degree of what we call the divine mind, which is, of course, that realm of reality. And the second degree, which is a transitional stage of the human mind, is like it's neutral. The human mind, she qualifies as thoughts. Now, those thoughts either entertain the illusions of the first degree, or those thoughts entertain ideas coming from the third degree. If the human mind is entertaining illusions or false beliefs from the first degree, she calls that a bad thought, negative thoughts. But if the human mind is entertaining and is open enough through its moral qualities and openness, and is being transparent to letting ideas come through, then she calls those good thoughts or right thoughts. You see, but thoughts are qualified either whether we're being influenced from the first degree or the third degree. And therefore, I think Max brings that out very well in the compendium. I believe it's number one, where he shows the difference between illusions, thoughts, and ideas. And that thoughts are either good or evil, according to whether we look at the first degree or we're transparent to the third degree. And so I think we can see that. And therefore, at this step here is where the remedy is a change of belief. Where Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health 194, a change in human belief changes all the physical symptoms and determines a case for better or for worse. Once one's false belief is corrected, truth sends a report of health over the body. So she shows that it's a change of belief, a change of perception on how we view the universe that has to happen, either right or wrong. And then she says, selfishness and sensualism are educated in mortal mind by thoughts ever reoccurring to oneself, by conversation about the body, and by the expectation of perpetual pleasure or pain from it. And this education is at the expense of spiritual growth. If we array thought in mortal vestures, it must lose its immortal nature. If we look to the body for pleasure, we find pain. For life, we find death. For truth, we find error. For spirit, we find its opposite matter. Now you hear her, change of perception is needed. Now reverse this action. Look away from the body into truth and love, the principle of all happiness, harmony, and immortality. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionably to the occupancy of your thought. You hear this as step two, the mental good and evil? She wouldn't say this on step three or four or five or six or seven. She's helping us from a step two mentality. So how gentle she is. I learned that mortal mind created all the subjective beliefs, and those subjective beliefs are making you ill. Now I'm going to help you with how to step two. You think positively, don't think negatively. Now how do you think positively? Hold thought to the enduring and the true. Turn away from the body. Don't always talk about the body and look to the body for pleasure or pain. She says reverse that action. Look away from the body to the good. And hold thought steadfastly on the good. She's not saying even on divine ideas. It's just the step two. Can you hear how nice she is? She gently brings us, saying, hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you'll bring these into your experience proportionately to the occupancy of their thought. She's at the second step.
So what chapter would that be?
Let's see, it's chapter, it's page 260 in Science and Health. We'll look it up. Yes. Do we have a textbook?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you see how gentle Mrs. Eddy is in this chapter on creation, helping with that experience. We just went through the word order, the word chapters and the Christ chapters, and gently saying, you know, that the Christ chapters are operating, or the standpoint of those chapters, gently bringing us from the physical to the mental to the spiritual. And so she gently does this and gives techniques out. These are not high statements. These are not her highest. But they're wonderful. And how we loved it. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true. And you'll bring these into your experience proportionally to the occupancy of their thought. So those people going to these various classes on the power of positive thinking will say, sure, that's Mrs. Eddy teaches that also from that standpoint. And it helps, and it has benefited us tremendously, hasn't it? When we were ourselves at a step two, and we have been, we have to have been, to gradually come out of it. And we got a tremendous benefit from the step two exercises. And that's what they are. And then she says in the same chapter, Creation, on page 261, 27, fix your gaze on the realities supernal, and you will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being, even as a bird which has burst from the egg and preens its wings for a skyward flight. She's saying you're not the highest, you're on all is mental, the mental is good and evil, but you're making a step forward, and she says you're going to rise yet to the spiritual, doesn't she? Consciousness of being. By fixing your gaze on only the good is going to help you rise to something higher, and you're going to burst from this little nucleus of mortal mind and its false myths, and you're going to go on a skyward flight through my divine metaphysics. But at least I'm helping you come out of the physical through ordinary metaphysics and finally in divine metaphysics. It's wonderful when we can see it, but we've got to have that in our repertoire of understanding of the evolution of consciousness and to appreciate where the world is and our friends are and oftentimes where we just are. It's hard for us to hold thought steadfastly to the good. We keep wanting to go back to seeing the evil, don't we, in our life. We just can't quite get over what happened to us, what we call evil, you know? And yet if we concede that the armies of evil are the armies of the Lord, that everything has been going on in the name of good for us in our spiritual journey, for our friends and all of us, that it all goes on in the name of God good, and at first we just have belief in it. We have faith in it. We just blindly trust it till finally we really spiritually understand the whole reason we've been going through this experience is to burst finally forward for the skyward flight to the spiritual, that it all happens to make us go forward. So there, excuse me.
This is Christianity as a word.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Christianity.
That's it. It's gentle, it's to the human, it's, yeah, it takes you from the Christianity acceptance from the human standpoint. Sure, taking mankind, because the Word is God and the Christ is God, and now it's the statements in operation, and now it's the Christianity is man's response. That's very good. It takes man where he first responds, huh? That's very good, Dick. Now, before we make the recess for this evening, which we'll do right now, I just want to show then that here is where we brought up the discussion earlier on of we were at the crisis of perception. It was just whether we saw the pattern either as an illusion or as the pattern as it is or as it isn't. And I just want this to come into your notes and into your awareness that this is where it is taken, at all is mental, and the mental is good and evil, where they discover we're at this crisis of perception, how we see the world. And it happens here. And therefore, as they see, when they start dealing with the mental nature of the universe, then they're going to see we're at the crisis of perception. So when we look up this definition of illusion, we see that it's a wonderful definition. Let's look at it. It says action of mocking, or it means, one, the action of deceiving. It means the state of or fact of being intellectually deceived or misled, or a misapprehension. It, point two, it's an instance of such deception. It's a misleading image presented to the vision. It's something that deceives or misleads intellectually. It's a perception of something objectively existing in such a way as to cause misinterpretation of its actual nature. It's a hallucination. And this is the definition, point three, I gave. It's a pattern capable of reversal perspective. You can see it all applies to mentality. It's an illusion is a state or fact of being mentally deceived into a misapprehending of what's really there. See, the translation and retranslation is going on within mentality to take us from the misapprehension or the miscalculation or the misinterpretation into the right interpretation. So we know then that a pattern capable of reversal or being misunderstood is, we see the two arrows on the top. Now, those arrows are an optical illusion. The two arrows on the top are the same length. But the arrow on the top here looks to be longer than the arrow at the bottom. And so therefore, the line at the top with the two, with an arrow on the left pointing towards the line and an arrow on the right pointing towards the line, that looks longer there when the arrows are pointing away from the line on the left and on the right, doesn't it? That's an optical illusion, you see. It's a way we're perceiving the same distance. Or the next one there with the stairs, it shows that either side A or side B may appear nearer the observer. Sometimes when you look at illustration B with the stairs, sometimes A comes forward to us, and then again, sometimes if you let your eye go, B will come forward. Can you see it? See, that's a pattern capable of reversal. And this is what is happening in the world, that the pattern of God is there, seen from the second record of creation. Let's say the stairs, B is coming towards us, you see, and they're convinced that B comes towards us, and you can't break that virtual realm, you see. That's how they see it. But when seen from the lens of the divine mind, let's say that the A comes forward, and we see the stairs in a different way, through the lens of science. And the two don't meet. They're looking at the same pattern through different concepts, and categories, and one sees it one way and one sees it the other way, and it's a question of reversal. And the same with the cube. It shows that it may be regarded as either near or far away. The corner C in the cube either comes close to us or recedes. It's the same pattern. Therefore, this is so much, they're just little illustrations to show us that it's just perception, and it lets us see why people see the same pattern of God in a different way. Now, again, we like the pattern of the young girl and old woman. And just for the tape audience, we've seen ourselves how, if we look at this pattern, either when we look at the pattern, we can see the young girl here with her eyelash and her cheekbone looking over her shoulder, or that same pattern can yield an old woman with all sorts of hair and with the eye, and the young girl's cheekbone becomes the crooked nose of the old woman, and the mouth, huh? And the hair. So in the same pattern, we see either the young girl and her high cheekbone looking over her shoulder, or in the same pattern, we see the old woman with the crooked nose and the mouth looking to the side. So this is such that we can't get into arguments with one seeing the pattern one way and one in the other way. That's why Mrs. Eddy tells us, don't argue it out on a lower court, that it can only be through education can we help others see the world as God sees the world. And hence now that is our would be our assignment for this evening, is to begin to look at step three, where we have that step of thinking in terms of ideas. Now we are gently led in the ordered step from all is mental, the mental can be good and evil, from ordinary metaphysics that is in the world today and practiced in the world today as we've seen it now, and still has great implications on mentality, where the universal, collective, and individual beliefs govern us until controlled through science. Now we're going to do exercises from step three onward, which will show us how the impersonal science of ideas will let us gain a system of exercises that will enable us to gain control over the mental and those false universal and collective beliefs through allowing the divine mind and its view step by step to break through into our consciousness. So the mental can be good and evil breaks down because of the we have no standard to judge what is good from what is evil on the mental realm. We just have to use our personal opinions. And so we want an impersonal standard of reference on what to judge as good or evil. And that will be thinking in terms of ideas for the synonymous terms for God. So if this evening, if you will look over then step three and all that is implied with step three, in the booklet, The Ordered Approach to the One Being. This is where we begin our synonym study. This is where we will look at the synonym study. First of all, through the ideas that characterize the synonymous terms. And there also, not only as those ideas are defined in the textbook, through the compendiums, how in the textbook how it defines mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But also we want to see how that terminology changes today into the new language of today, and to see if we can bring in other terms besides just the terms for mind as we find in the textbook, or other terms for spirit than just we find in the textbook, other terminology for soul or principle, life, truth, and love that are being used in the world today than is used in the textbook, but still maintain the tonality of all the ideas of mind, or the ideas of spirit, or the ideas of soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So look at the exercise, think about the way mind is defined just through the textbook, and if you are aware of other terms for mind that maintain...